this is Lisa from Geek Pop. You can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and our website, geekpoppodcast.wordpress.com. Don't forget to like and share us on Facebook and give us a rating on iTunes. Pop in your geek every week. That is true. We gotta get this started.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
McClunky. By the way. Welcome to Geek Pop. I'm Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
Enrique.
We got a whole lot of show to cover. I don't know why that thing's on there. We got a lot of show to cover, and we don't have a lot of time to do it. So let's start off with everyone watch The Mandalorian.
Hell yeah.
And spoiler warning.
Yeah, mark that.
The following contains spoilers for The Mandalorian Episode 1. To continue spoiler-free, skip ahead to 15 minutes and 51 seconds.
29 seconds.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, okay.
Enrique has
yeah,
not.
Yeah, that's spoiler warning.
Exactly. It's also a spoiler warning for him.
This fool can borrow one of our accounts.
Yeah.
One of ours. There's two of us in here. two of us at two accounts between the sure. four of us, I guess.
How many can you share? I've never actually looked into
seven,
it.
Seven, I think, is, seven? Okay. Is a magic number.
See, I'll hook them up.
I think that's the magic number. Anyway, The Mandalorian. It was great.
The Mandalorian. It's a long time coming. How long has it been since, like, God, like, I feel like I was a little kid when I first heard about the tentative plans for a live-action Star Wars TV series.
A live-action? I mean...
Well, because Lucas talked about, you know, that he wanted to eventually do a live-action TV series, and he developed literally 50 scripts of Star Wars Underworld, I guess, of what was tentatively going to be called.
Something like that.
Back in the day. But then
they make reference to that in this the Mandalorian a couple
of
times.
But it's been like a good like 20-odd years that he's,
Lucas's?
You know, that he's talked about wanting to, like, that's the direction he wants it to eventually go. When the technology can provide Star Wars level effects on a TV.
Well, it's somewhat there. The Mandalorian is a show about a Mandalorian. We don't officially know his name yet.
His name is Manda.
Lorian.
Yeah. It's short for Amanda. We don't realize it yet, but he's a woman.
The name's been leaked, but,
Yeah,
I don't know. It's not going to make a difference anymore. It's not, and it's not Boba.
It doesn't have to be.
That's what I don't want.
I actually kind of dig this, like, kind of man with no name kind of thing going on. It's very, very Western feeling. I mean, because
The show has that feeling, and they were able to get away with I think some things by not having a large Coruscant-esque scene. It's all like here's some rocks and costumes.
This is more in the purview of, like, you know, the scum and villainy of the galaxy, which is a lot of what I want to see more of. So, personally, I don't think I'll be the only one.
I could have lived without another fucking bar.
Another bar.
Yeah, but that's like a Star Wars staple.
Oh, now it's a Star Wars staple.
Yeah, I mean, it's been in like two movies, so.
I don't know. Again, like, I could have lived without it, but it fits the show.
Yeah,
if it's a show.
It worked in the show. It fit it. It wasn't like, oh, we're going here to have another cantina scene. It was like, this is where we do our deal.
Well, it's more. I think it goes further than that because this guy is obviously a bounty hunter, and that's where he does a lot of his dealings.
Yeah,
and we had I can't remember the name, the actor's name, but Dutch.
Pedro Pascal.
No, you mother. What was?
Oh,
Carl Weathers.
Yes. Carl Weathers. Yes. Grief Marga.
He was
Grief Karga. Sorry.
Yeah. I think the. There's two highlights. One of them was watching IG-11.
Yes.
We've never, even in the comic books, I don't think we ever saw a droid bounty hunter or this particular model move like that.
Oh, and it was
very entertaining.
It was so beautiful because it's like he can just move whatever he wants, wherever he wants. So he does.
Yeah, it certainly brought me back to...
Without Abandon.
oh my goodness. I'm blanking on the author's name. I have his autograph and everything.
Sure.
But Tales of the Bounty Hunters.
Sure,
the
but
IG-88
we never get
storyline.
To see, and even the comic books, like we see IG-8 moving in the comic book.
Yeah.
But this isn't until we see this, we're like, this is why he's such an effective bounty hunter.
Kevin J. Anderson, I just remembered. But yeah, like I remember the IG-88 story, and the IG-88 story in Tales of the Bounty Hunters, it's not canon anymore, but it's still out there. If anyone gets a chance to read it, it's awesome. Because for one thing, the first, five pages of which are like the first couple seconds of IG-88's life. And he basically boots up and immediately decides that the people who've created him are a threat and then just takes them all out. And it just describes him being like this incredibly agile super killer. And you look at the the prop of IG-88, and it looks so janky and it's like, how would he move? So you know, he doesn't even have ankles.
Everything just rotates. It was crazy.
He walked like a jackass, but it was still a really good scene. I dug the fact that he has adopted the freezing carbonite.
Yeah.
Which I guess. I don't know if they're going to be like, this was a Mandalorian thing, or if they're like, hey, I heard Boba did this, so this is going to be great for revolutionizing bounties.
Well,
I don't
it's one
know.
Thing that, you know, this is set 6 years after Return of the Jedi, so I'm assuming the freezing technology has gotten much
better,
much better, because that was a big thing in The Empire Strikes Back. It's not meant to be used that way.
Right.
In fact, that was a big threat. If you freeze Han Solo, he will very likely die.
But
I guess they got it better.
Well, they miniaturized it, too, because it's just in the back of his ship.
Exactly. He didn't even need, like, a whole chamber. It's
here you go. I'm just going to let you make your way here, try to escape. Oh, fuck.
And I guess they retrofit him with some kind of anti-gravity system, because they're just all hovered out.
And how awesome is it, by the way, that they recanonize Life Day?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously, like, the Mandalorian himself and his rifle is a callback to Boba Fett's first appearance in the Star Wars Holiday Special. But, yeah, his bounty is talking about getting back home for Life Day. I loved all those little, I mean, there were so many little nuggets like that, so many callbacks.
Oh, there's a ton.
For one thing, like, this felt almost like, because I know there's been a lot of criticism of the creature design in the sequel trilogy, for example, that there isn't enough familiarity. I personally appreciate that they just created so many new races, because it's a Star Wars galaxy. It should feel huge. You should see tons of new races everywhere.
You mean the new movies?
Yeah, the new movies. You don't see Twi'leks, you don't see Rodians. Whereas this one, you got a lot of familiarity. You got, there was this Ugnaught character voiced by Nick Nolte, which I thought
he was an Ugnaught?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he looked like an Ugnaught to me.
Maybe I'm being specious.
I didn't think he was an Ugnaught.
You are.
Oh, I thought he was, but obviously you see Nyctos, you see you see Twi'leks, and not to mention when he goes to that door, you see that same type of eyeball droid at Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
So there were lots of little callbacks like that, and I think a lot of that came from Filoni too, because this was the premiere episode. Which, by the way, we're only talking about the premiere episode. By the time you listen to this, there'll be a couple episodes out, but in that premiere episode,
it's a week by week episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there'll be a second
one. The first
one
will
out.
Be 2 days from today.
Good.
Later this week.
Yeah, so it'll be every Friday. But the first two are just in the same week. But it was this first episode was written by Jon Favreau, directed by the great Dave Filoni. So
yeah, and you know what?
They did a good job.
Bled Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
And all
like
the
it's
good parts
Star Wars.
Of Star Wars. Like all the things you want more of.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, even just like monsters. I love that first bit with Brian Posehn's character. I love his little cameo, and he gets immediately just eaten
destroyed,
by some ice creature.
At first, I'm like, oh, he's going to take me out of this thing, but they immediately remedied that. This is, I almost feel validated with Dave Filoni directing this, because I'm like, yeah. See, he gets it. See, this is what we've been preaching on Geek Pop forever.
Sure.
Dave Filoni should be the shepherd of Star Wars.
Yeah. I would be definitely on board for
that. This was really good. I said one of the big pops was IG-11. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other big pop, of course, was that we found out what the bounty is. But by the way, by the fucked up stormtroopers that looked pretty worse for wear.
Yeah, they looked.
Yes.
I couldn't tell if that was blood on them or
it was sand,
dirt and sand.
I think it's super hella worn out armors, because the Empire is gone.
Yeah,
and so at this point, whatever's left.
Oh
is
yeah, because they tried to pay him in Imperial credits.
Yeah,
and he's like, these are worthless.
Which I find interesting about that character, which I guess he's not named yet, but the client played by Werner Herzog.
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly an old Imperial guy. He's got the Imperial necklace and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I think that's interesting, just seeing factions of just old Imperial kind of old Nazis out in in Argentina or something.
And
he's playing
with Mandalorian metal. I don't know the name of, but it, still has the
is
insignia
it
of
black
the
steel.
It was
no.
Like, it's sort of the B, like part something some kind of steel, but I guess it's exceptionally rare, and he only has enough to make that shoulder pauldron. But I know there have been promo photos that have already been released of him in the full thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just
he's collecting more.
He's gonna get.
I thought
much
that was
better armor.
A little obvious, because at first his helmet is just made of that.
Yeah,
and then they add. The shoulder piece.
Yeah, I guess if it's that rare, it's vibranium, I guess.
Yeah. Unobtainium.
Because they tested it at the beginning, right? They're like, is that real blood?
Black
blood?
Steel.
Yeah.
Scrapes his nail across.
So people must know. It's like, oh, that's valuable shit.
And, I thought it was interesting. I don't know if it's stupid or not, but he goes to the little Mandalorian hideout and everybody's just chilling in their helmets.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, I don't think that was like a Mandalorian bylaw that they have to always wear their helmets. Because even in their hideout, the kids were like, they had helmets on.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's the entrance. You can come across randos there. I don't know. I think it's
all Mandalorians, though.
Yeah, yeah. But if a Mandalorian's not walking in there, then we'll see them without their helmets. Well, I don't know. I felt like that was more for us than for the scene. Like, this is where his people are.
Right. Well, but at the same time, yeah, you're right. It's a little strange. I mean, they might just happen to all be wearing their helmets at the time.
Maybe they're really comfy.
Yeah. Because obviously, oh my goodness, I'm blanking on her name, but the Mandalorian and Rebels.
Sabine,
she takes her helmet off plenty of times. It's just Boba Fett never would.
Well, that's
but that was kind of his
thing. I think
that's
where it started. And all the scenes that we saw Boba in, he didn't need it.
Yeah.
Of course, we saw Jango without his helmet, so that kind of sets a new precedence.
Like, that kind of reminds me of one of my favorite moments in Tales of the Bounty Hunters, because like Boba Fett is at a bar with somebody and he gets orders a drink, and the other guy's thinking, am I finally going to see the face of the legendary bounty hunter? And he pulls out a straw. It's like, oh.
I don't remember that. I'm going to have to reread that book. Anyway, I didn't even get to the part where I was trying to say.
Yeah.
We get to see that the bounty is a 50-year-old Yoda. I forget
Yoda-like creature.
Yoda-like creature, yeah. Which I saw a lot of people saying, like, was that Yoda? It's like, oh my God, no. Yoda is dead.
Well, I didn't realize when it was taking place that time, so I was like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, no, he's dead. Like,
well, I think it's also because everyone has been kind of generally referring to him as the baby Yoda, because we still don't have a name of that species.
He's a not Yoda.
It's never been established. We know Yaddle is a member of the species, but you know, we've only seen two people who are of that species, and now three, I guess. Yeah. Is this Yoda and Yaddle's baby?
Could be.
So he was there. I mean, she died.
It's all one.
He's 50 years old.
Yeah. And he was fucking, I'm sorry, 900 years?
Doesn't mean he can't still shoot.
It's true.
Did you notice, though, there was that doctor whose name already escaped me, but these are all new Star Wars characters.
Brian, I expect you to know all of this.
But there was that doctor character who was working for Werner Herzog's character.
And he very much wanted it alive.
Yes, and he also, I just noticed, like, just like earlier today, because people were taking screen caps, he clearly has on his shoulder the symbol of the Kaminoan cloners. Do they want the baby to make clones? Are they doing
so? The Kaminos were destroyed, and the facility was destroyed.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty. I think that's still canon. The clone, they decided that, like, they don't want anyone else making an army like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they went and destroyed the whole cloning facility.
Yeah, it doesn't mean there can be, like, a rogue agent, though.
Sure.
Yeah, it could be part of a different company, you know, that's part of the same cloning kind of.
I think it'd be odd that the Empire destroys them only to keep a human and give them their insignia.
But clearly they really are paying they're paying a lot to make sure that this particular baby
is alive
and nobody else knows about it. So there's something.
Maybe
there.
Yoda's
alive and or dead.
Yoda's
IG-11. Yeah. He was told to kill it.
Oh, that's right. Which is why the Mandalorian was like,
nope.
Bam. Yeah.
Which he must be okay at some point because they show stuff with him in it again.
Well, he downloads.
Okay.
He downloads. There's a reason why he's like 11.
Yeah.
And we get 88. Like he made copies of himself.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Anyway, all right. Mandalorian was great. Go watch it.
Yeah.
It was really.
I mean, if anything, like I know at least a couple people who were not the biggest fans of it. I mean, but
lame.
I don't know. I think it's I have a friend who I think she rightly says, like, that first episode there is no female representation.
No, there was the
blacksmith.
The blacksmith. Yes, she. That was a female.
Well, that's true. Did she speak? I heard a claim that there was
no.
Yes, she did.
Because she asked about his insignia. Did it show itself to him or something?
Oh, that's
true. And he was like, no, not yet.
Okay. Well, maybe that's a little premature saying that there was no representation.
It was very, very little, but.
I mean, let's be
honest.
I don't expect
it to have it.
There wasn't much here.
I guess it's bad.
Well, there's like the bar scene that clearly you could have filled it in with a little bit more. You know, rather than just all dudes, but I mean, I don't know. But at the same time,
maybe it was just a dudes only bar.
I'm just voicing the concerns that some of my female friends have brought up about it. But at the same time, I think I'm excited to see. Obviously, Cara Dunn Dune, however we're pronouncing her last name, has yet to appear, and we know that she's going to be a major character in this, and
as well as character's name.
Yeah, and Ming-Na Wen's character is you know, I mean, right. I'm so excited that she's a part of this at all. So
right.
Hopefully we see them soon, because we only it's only 8 episodes this season, so you know.
Yep. I want more. I only say that because I want more already. Like,
well, it's a good thing you mentioned that, because
it's got a season 2 already.
Jon Favreau tweeted out a photo this just today or yesterday, I think.
They're filming season
yeah. 2,
as they should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like this is the kind of Star Wars you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The score was
great too. I mean, I really dug it.
I thought so too. I thought there were some really interesting parts where it made it unique.
Yeah, I mean, I was hearing some people saying like it felt too unique,
but I didn't care for it.
I liked it. Cuz it was almost like a synthy western kind of neat, I don't know.
Just some of it didn't match up for me in my own personal opinion, which can't be wrong.
That's fine.
At this point.
I do find it weird that out of all the shows on Disney Plus, this is on Disney Plus for anyone who doesn't listening and for some reason doesn't know, there's only, I think, 12 original shows on Disney Plus.
For now, for launch.
Yeah,
for launch, it's really weak.
Yeah.
They had literally one show that's... You know, knock your socks off. Now,
at the same time, a lot of what they're selling is that
the
back catalog. It's a replacement for the Disney Vault. Everything's there. There's all of the Simpsons now with no ads. You know,
yeah. But
although I gotta pick a bone about that,
because it's all the right Simpsons.
Yeah, all the classic episodes have been cropped to widescreen, which actually cuts out some of the visual gags. Like, there's that classic moment where they go to the Duff Brewery and Duff Light and Duff Dry and Duff Classic. Are all coming from the same pipe,
right.
But it gets cropped off the screen. And it's, you guys, if it was made for 4:3, give us 4:3, give us the whole thing and put the bars on the side. But
I think that's coming. Just because I was reading about that and something else, where they had with older classic episodes where they were showing them in the proper format versus the older format.
Yeah,
and that I think the format that was ready for them. At launch is this older format, because they do have the Simpsons episodes in the right format.
Sure.
Available.
Where you could see the full frame.
Where you can see the full frame.
They have them on like FX or something.
They had them on FX and you could see them in the widescreen or the 4:3.
Okay.
So you had your choice of which version you wanted to see. I think at the time Disney acquired them and got everything ready for this. It was rushed, so widescreen was what was easily available to them.
Okay, well, I hope they fix that then. Yeah,
that's definitely a way to. I mean, you could say that. I really feel like they just thought that was the better way, for
or
reason.
Or that
could well be.
Well, because yeah,
because I mean, let's be honest, they got their ducks in a row with Disney Plus, I think, and they got
for the most part.
Out.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, dude, I mean,
again, the original showing, like, and some of them were just one. I think once it was the Marvel one, a one shot special.
Yes,
it has to be, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, there are other things on there that are definitely in the 4:3 aspect ratio. So as soon as I finished The Mandalorian, I was just like suddenly just on emotional high from that episode. But then I was going through just like, oh my God, the floodgates of Disney Plus are open. What do I watch next? And the next thing I watched was the X-Men animated series, you know, from the 90s, which I found it amusing that it said skip intro. It's like, nobody fucking skips the X-Men intro.
I would.
But it was in the 4:3 aspect ratio, so you got to see the whole thing. So
neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff on there.
Hopefully they go back and fix that with the classic Simpsons episodes. Because obviously Simpsons went widescreen at some point. But
currently in the high def, I mean, they look brilliant now.
Oh, yeah.
And you go back to watch an old episode, like, whoa, shit, the color palette was very murky.
Yeah.
And they've brightened those up, so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You know, I've seen most of what Disney Plus has to offer.
But also what came with Disney Plus's launch is... for the first time, the 4K versions of Star Wars.
Sure.
You know, and that's that came with its own can of worms.
See, it's so weird people are complaining about this, but go ahead.
Well, of course they're going to complain about it.
Of course they're going to complain about something.
I've got to complain about something.
But the funny thing is, like, nobody was expecting, I think. Well, so what we're talking about is, so we got the first ever versions of the 4K restorations of Star
Wars.
A New
Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi.
Of the original trilogy, absolutely. Which also, by the way, restored the 20th Century Fox fanfare since now they own Fox. So, you know, I wasn't a huge stickler going, like, I didn't really necessarily miss it, you know, because there were plenty of people going like, oh my God, Star Wars, it's not opening with the 20th Century Fox fanfare anymore. It's like, well, it's owned by Disney. Just relax. It still says Lucasfilm.
It's funny how you're like, relax about something that I don't care about.
Sure, but at the same time.
Go ahead,
like,
roll out. Let me, go ahead. What would they change, Brian?
I'm also fine with that because it is John Williams' original recordings for each of them, you know. So that's it's part of the soundtrack. I definitely understand the appeal of getting that restored, but at the same time, there was a bit of a doozy dropped that it was yet again another special edition. And the only change being to the infamous Han and Greedo scene. So
hey, Brian, relax. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, it doesn't matter that much to me.
What, it doesn't?
No.
Yeah.
It's all stupid.
Right. Well, it's just it just seemed bizarre because nobody was expecting it. Because basically, on Disney Plus, the Han Greedo scene is tweaked yet again for the fourth time now.
That's right.
Where, you know, because obviously there was an infamous 97 special edition where Han shot first.
Right.
Yeah, or sorry, where Greedo shot first.
Greedo did that first.
Weird dodge.
He still does a dodge.
And in 2004, the DVD special edition, they had it be much more simultaneous, I guess, the blasters going off at roughly the same time. This one was tweaked again where they actually shoot on exactly the same frame, but Greedo suddenly had a last word in. So in all the previous versions, Han would just say, well, I bet you have, and then the gunfire would happen. But it cuts back to his other shot of Greedo where he just says, McClunky.
McClunky.
There's nothing, no subtitle, just like he just gets his last word of Rodian in. And then gets killed. So it's just, it's bizarre. I think a lot of people were just like taken aback. It's like, why? Why did this change happen? And at the same time, initially, you know, there was no indication that we were going to get another special edition because as far as we were aware, it's all on Disney. So for the first few hours of Disney Plus being live, there was a lot of confusion over this because a lot of people were like, why did Disney do this? But then Lucasfilm and Pablo Hidalgo, you know, the official keeper of the Holocron for Lucasfilm, came forward and explained, no, this change came from George Lucas 7 years ago, and it's, you know, which was prior to the Disney purchase.
He's just constantly tweaking it.
So what,
before
what,
he sold it.
I mean, he can't anymore because he doesn't own it. But right. That, which is, I think, this is why this took people back because they're like, well, I thought this day and age of Star Wars constantly getting tweaked was over, and you know, sure enough, George
Surprise.
Lucas.
This is such a non thing, well, and it is amazing to me. Not amazing because I'm like, of course people are gonna bitch about something stupid like this. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't change anything.
I don't think there's as much outrage as there was before because in this.
Oh, I've seen articles that are going like, they've ruined it again.
Not in the way that there was that outrage at the 97 special edition.
Well, sure,
but because in this day and age now, you know, I'm not endorsing that you should get the despecialized edition. But it's out there.
You covered it last week.
There's painstakingly, you know, restored HD versions of the original version. They're out there. Yeah. But at the same time, like, I think plenty of people were just going, like, why?
It's fine.
What did this change do? Like, because Lucas obviously at some point, and apparently, so Pablo Hidalgo confirmed this came from before the Disney purchase, obviously, and Lucas was supervising the 4K restoration of the original trilogy in preparation for the 3D re-release that was canceled. Apparently he saw that, you know, not surprisingly, as an opportunity to go in there and tweak it again.
So hear me out here, and this, it makes sense on why he would change it. Now, why he changed it to that, beyond me. Who knows what McClunky means?
Sure.
But if you look at the scene, and then it's literally like, Han has his last punctuation sentence and then he fires. It makes sense in that scene because originally he fired first, right?
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense now because if he has the last word and then Greedo shoots him like that, that's a weird beat to take. The punctuation is Han's laser, his shot, right? I bet you have. Bam!
Right.
Why would you cut back and like, I bet you have, and then Greedo takes that as his cue to shoot him? So they put this in there as a beat. I can almost 100%
I see what you mean. I see what you mean on that front. I mean, because I'm totally opposed to Greedo shooting at all, but if he is, you're right. Like, it would make a little bit more sense for Greedo to get the last word in, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know?
Because, like, they're trying to say that Han didn't shoot first. Okay.
Sure.
That's fine. Nothing changes throughout the movie. So whatever. They're just going to make it a different beat. Because it doesn't make sense that Greedo would shoot after Han says something like that, like a retort. He's going to try and say something back, and then like he's got, because he thinks he has the upper hand. He thinks he can come on top. And McClunky's more like, I don't know, bitch.
Well, at least for this version,
bitch.
I'm not seeing outrage as much as like people just sort of laughing at this, because
it's hilarious.
It is kind of hilarious. I totally think it's hilarious that George Lucas, like,
and then you said
had done this like landmine in Star Wars for the last 7 years that we haven't seen a bob in there. Exactly, because that 4K version never released. Obviously, they were planning for a 3D re-release, but the Phantom Menace 3D wasn't as huge of a hit, I think, as they were hoping for. And then Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith got their 3D re-release only at the Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. You know, so obviously that whole plan to do them all 3D and re-release them fizzled out. But for 7 years, it'd been sitting there, this McClunky edit.
You might have forgot about it, too.
Part of me kind of wants to think, like, he had plans of selling Disney and goes, like, I want to fuck with Disney. How can I do this?
No.
I know. I don't think it's true. But
I can't believe Disney didn't watch it either. Like,
well, and they may well have, but that's another debate. It's like, was Disney aware of this? I could totally believe that they weren't, because they might have just gotten the 4K versions from Lucasfilm without realizing, oh, Lucas went there and tweaked a little more.
No, I'm 100% sure someone saw this.
Someone had to have watched it beforehand. Yeah.
But at the same time, that's the version they bought. It's not like they tweaked
it. That's exactly right. I think he did it, and then like, what are they going to do about it? Take it out? Exactly. There's probably something in his contract when he sold, like, you can't fuck with the movies.
But I'm curious.
What I fucked with.
Yeah, but I'm curious how much Disney anticipated that, you know, the first day of Disney Plus, that they would be trending all over Twitter, McClunky. And then obviously fans, like, hilariously went and started doing their own edits to Star Wars. So there's a clip going around of Obi-Wan's death, and, you know, somebody voiced over in a great Alec Guinness, you know, impression, McClunky. Like, Yoda dying, like, there is another Skywalker, McClunky.
I think it's just funny that it's just funny.
Yeah,
it's a funny word.
Yeah,
McClunky.
Yeah, it's a funny word, and I love that you know, for 22 years now, the mantra of the people who have been outraged over all these changes has been Han shot first, and now there's this hashtag McClunky.
It's a better one, I think.
I love it. Yeah,
much more to the point.
Yeah. So it's kind of hilarious that George Lucas snuck that little landmine in there in Star Wars. And
he said landmine. He just changed it. Sure. It's a landmine. It's such an insignificant thing. I don't know why people are even. But of course, it's Star Wars.
Well, I think it's also just because it was so unexpected. Because all the thought was, like, at this point, you know, Lucas can't screw with that anymore, and he can't. But there was an unreleased change that was sitting there that has now been unleashed, and people are like, what? You know, so.
Honestly, I think it makes it a better scene. Personally, it's just a small beat, and it makes more sense.
I can agree with you if you have to keep the Greedo shooting first.
Why yes, wouldn't you? You have to, because definitely... we are never going backwards from that moment.
Good.
Sorry.
At least there's still the original versions out there, not illegal.
We're going to be a last of a generation and a minority of people that still care. My kid's not going to give a shit. And no kid from the prequels on are going to.
It is extra frustrating that there is a whole generation of younger fans who appreciate, who actually prefer Hayden Christensen being in Return of the Jedi. But that's a different story.
I'm fine with it too.
I'm fine with
all these changes.
I am not at all, but
because I think in the end, it the continuity pulls it all together.
Yeah,
yeah, it's jarring because you remember it a certain way, but who gives a fuck?
Really? Who gives many a fuck? People do, including myself.
So I understand.
You can't say that. Who gives a fuck? I'm sitting right across from you.
I can say that 100%.
Ryan gives a fuck,
and that's fine. That is fine. We are still
Luke Skywalker.
We are still friends. No, we're not. You can have your views, but I think in the end, when you analyze stuff, it doesn't make a huge difference.
It's
the way you prefer.
The thing is, I think a lot of the initial outrage on those, you know, on the initial couple of special editions is because Lucas just wouldn't make the classic versions available, but they are available legally or not, and so I think there's less and less of an outrage at the new changes, because at this point it's like, well, at least we're not going to get any more changes, and at the same time it's like
I wouldn't care if we did.
If you want to go get out there and get that despecialized edition, or buy that DVD version from like 2007 or something that has the bonus on the bonus features, there is the Laserdisc rip, which is the original version.
I mean, so, if you want it to look like shit,
I know it's not HD, but
I'm not interested about it. It's all good. In another 20 years, no one's gonna give that much care.
I will still give a fuck.
Brian will beat that
again. You'll be the minority, and that's okay. Maybe they'll be out by that time. Maybe you'll have your eye. What is the eyebrows? Is that what you said? They couldn't do the eyebrows.
Anymore. Oh yeah, that's right.
I didn't. You know, certain changes like that, I don't mind as much because like,
picking and
he is a burn victim. Like he shouldn't have eyebrows.
I don't know, man. McClunky, know. Move on.
All right, so we got some news about Carrie Fisher's original plans for Carrie Fisher in The Rise of the Skywalker, where she was supposed to be.
According to Todd Fisher.
According to Todd Fisher, her brother, she was supposed to be the last Jedi.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to, I guess, see her be like a badass Jedi at that point.
Right. Well, that's also like, that's taking his words a little, spinning his words a little. But he mentioned that that would be in essence what her role would be, but I'm sure Rey would still be in the picture.
Oh, I didn't take it as Rey wouldn't be in the picture. Yeah. It was just more, I was kind of watching these. It was like, okay, the first movie was a send off for Han Solo. The second one ended up being a send off for Luke Skywalker. So the third one would be then our send off for Leia.
Yeah. And I think, this is, at least in that sense, that's definitely been corroborated by not only, J.J. Abrams himself, but also Billie Lord, her daughter. Her daughter, by the way, like if anyone hasn't read it yet, she put out this great this article about this essay about her mother that recently. I'm forgetting which publication she did it with, but it's a really really. You can look up
something about her mom being Princess, or she was raised with Princess Leia or something like that. Oh, yeah. She was the something that she's the steward of Princess Leia.
The steward of the character now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, it brought a tear to my eye. I thought it was really beautifully written, and in it she also talks about how. She talks mainly in it the history of the character in from her perspective, especially growing up with Carrie Fisher as a mother, but she also talks about how how her mother had expected the full expectation was that Leia was supposed to get a much larger significant role in Episode 9, and unfortunately because she passed. That can't be done. But
no, we get 8 mm-hmm. minutes of Leia.
Yeah, and at the same time,
8 minutes.
Well, Todd Fisher also got very specific, saying that she would also brandish a lightsaber and essentially, if not complete some Jedi training, but at least step in as more of a Jedi character. Mm-hmm.
Said she was going to get a lightsaber.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And chop full. I think she said chop. Bad guys down, something like that.
I'm not saying that wasn't going to happen. At the same time, like Todd Fisher, I don't imagine he's like because he notoriously said that like Leia would be fully recreated in CGI, and Disney came out right away to say that no, that's not the case. But at the same time, like this is all stuff.
Is that what he said?
He,
I could have sworn he's like we given him permission to recreate.
I think
it.
He said yeah, they gave them permission to do it.
I didn't even know then.
But then they came out and were like,
no, we're not going to do that. Yeah,
it wasn't just the permission. Like he said that we should expect that Disney would be recreating with CGI, which is why Disney came out with that statement saying no, that's not the case. But I
think that's probably damage control though.
Yeah, and it might be, but like I think it was also just.
Because it's so fresh, Disney. Like, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Don't say we're going to do that.
Sure. But I'm not. I mean, I don't expect that. Well, granted, Todd Fisher. I imagine he's talking a lot about hearsay from Carrie,
right.
From when she was alive, which obviously was when Colin Trevorrow was still attached to write and direct the movie. At this point, Colin Trevorrow wasn't.
I'm sure he dropped out by then, or he gotten fired.
No, he dropped out almost a year after Carrie passed away.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why a lot of people have been pushing this story about Todd Fisher says this and this. And yeah, but he's talking about a movie that was like even entirely different writer and director. But I'm sure, nevertheless, that if Carrie had still been around, even under JJ, she would have a much more expanded role. Certainly more than what we're getting, where they're working the story around the footage that they had. Yeah, they're roughly 8 minutes apparently.
They're gonna bastardize 8 minutes of Force Awakens. They said that they've been able to cut it and stretch it. I'm like,
why is it bastardized?
Because 8 minutes of not for that movie stuff. It feels like
Chris doesn't like that movie.
it goes beyond that. I mean, if they got 8 minutes from another movie that they're going to totally make for some another scene in another movie, and they're going to stretch it, I'm just like, wow.
Well, that's why
really
I'm
feels
saying.
Like,
well, that's why I also really want to push that people read Billie Lord's essay, because in it she talks about how she got in on those discussions with JJ about a year after her passing. Obviously, that was when JJ took over the project.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that that was a big part of the discussion with her in particular, is that we have this footage, that and obviously we're going back to square one with the script on this. we can work around this footage, you know, and repurpose it in a way that's tasteful and feels right, because apparently she was also in on the discussion with JJ and Chris Terrio about, like, we don't feel it would be right if we just wrote her character out and she was just a footnote in the opening crawl. Mm-hmm. You know, it just doesn't feel right. And there happens to be this footage that obviously doesn't gel with, you know,
what we've done, we're doing,
what we were originally planning to, but we can work around it and we can make it work. So, yeah. I mean, it's a pity. I mean, I would have loved to see Leia, like, you know, take up a lightsaber and, you know, but unfortunately we can't with Carrie Fisher having passed, but I'm
well, you probably could a little.
Sure.
I don't know. I kind of like that she doesn't, in a sense, because, you know, she hears this person super powerful with the Force and is just like, no, I don't need that.
Well, she was out of commission in the last fight, so.
She was, yeah. But still, like, throughout her life, she didn't.
We don't know.
She
that.
Had this power and she chose not to use it.
Well, like in Legacy Canon.
In the normal way that a Jedi would use it.
Well, in Legacy Canon, she did have some Jedi training under Luke, but
and a lightsaber.
And a lightsaber. But at the same time, a lot of why she didn't pursue her Jedi training further was because she had such an important role as the leader of the New Republic.
Yes. Yeah.
In the New Canon, the New Republic is gone. Her political career was destroyed. I mean, obviously, she's very busy as a general, but I could see in the New Canon. And if Carrie had still been around, that she would had more capacity to take up more of a Jedi role, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a real pity that we can never see that fulfilled in any way, you know, at least in live action. But
we'll see it in a cartoon. I guess
she'll get her whole movie.
Sure. I mean, Leia obviously they can do.
I mean, Billie Lourd she looks like her mother. I mean, but I guess she's already established character.
Yeah, she's Lieutenant Connix.
Yeah. So, did she get a promotion? The next, well, how would you know? Okay.
What's up? What's over Lieutenant? Well, everyone seems to be
in the Star Wars universe. Yeah. I have no fucking idea. Because
even Rose is a commander now too, which.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like she's only like one of 15 people that survived.
I just don't
she
know
has
military
to be
rankings.
Like,
I don't know what's above Lieutenant.
It's Star Wars military rankings. So who fucking knows?
Like, exactly.
I couldn't.
Archduke.
Archduke Commander. All right, let's move on.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah. That's you, buddy.
All right, so along with Disney Plus, we got a little 12-minute documentary called Expanding the Universe that goes into the future of the MCU. The majority of this documentary is kind of a compilation of the last D23 and Comic-Con presentations.
It's got a lot of the footage from there, yeah.
Yeah, but interspersed in there, in each of those little presentations about all the upcoming Disney Plus shows, is quite a bit of unreleased concept artwork and glimpses at the animation of, particularly of the What If series.
Right.
The animation looks incredible. So they gave us our first looks at... Captain Carter, you know, where Peggy is the one who gets the superhero serum, and oh my god, I mean, just
Steve's Iron Man.
Yeah, the look of that animation.
That was really cool. I like that at the Steve's Iron Man. I'm like,
yeah.
I really want to watch that.
I mean, the show looks amazing. I mean, I know I'm cutting you short because there's a T'Challa as Star-Lord.
Yeah,
and there's,
which I'm scratching my head over. Like, I don't know how that, I mean.
I don't know.
He gets kidnapped by Yondu instead. Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah, because at the same time, I mean, because I know, Ego being Star-Lord's father was not any part of the equation for why he was taken.
Or maybe Ego, instead of doing it with Star-Lord's mother, did it with.
He would be a different person.
It
would
it's a what if.
It's a what if. What if he met T'Challa's mother instead of Star-Lord?
Being half Ego.
Yeah.
Sure.
That doesn't. I have no
issues
with
at all.
That.
I don't know.
There's also, of course, the big one's the Marvel Zombie.
Yes. Yeah. So we see a little bit of that moment of Bucky squaring off against. Yeah. So you see a zombie Cap hurling a shield at Bucky, and Bucky just picking it up and throwing it right back.
Yeah.
So, but it's a little. Well, I mean, I guess that's that does gel with Marvel's, because Marvel Zombies. They still have a bit of their former identity. Like, it's not like just like brains. They can speak.
Yes.
They
the Marvel zombies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just kind of driven to eat brains.
Because this Cap, or this zombie Cap, throws his shield. He's not just
Yeah.
So
like he has some ways of tapping into his like how he used to attack.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So maybe he all even kind of remembers who he was. So
the only pitiful, and I realize this isn't a huge topic, but the only pitiful part about this is that we have to wait another year and a half.
Yeah.
It's like 2021.
Yeah.
But
we'll get Falcon and Winter Soldier. Falcon and yes, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Well, because that's filming right now, so that'll be the first one that we get. But
not too much.
Yeah, but they gave us the concept artwork of Bucky and
Falcon.
And Falcon looks pretty slick.
Yeah, it looks pretty all right.
Yeah. Which I also completely missed that, and I guess this happened at D23, that U.S. Agent is in it.
Oh, yeah. He has like a modified version of Caps, and he has that big jaw.
Yeah, which I totally expect, like, that's probably going to be like. The big thing that, like, you know, kind of driving the story initially is whether or not they're accepting Falcon as Cap.
That is correct. The reason they don't want Falcon to be the new Captain America. They want
U.S. Agent.
I think John Walker, I think is his name.
I forget his
name. They want him to be the, because they can, I think he's a controllable.
controllable Captain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think at the same time, this could also be very much, Marvel hasn't been particularly. There's a lot of social commentary, I think, that they could do with this, especially given given his race as well. So we'll see. Right. I mean, I'm excited. All the glimpses that we got from that little first look, and obviously, I think they wanted to put that doc in there just to convince people we have so
it's
much
coming.
Marvel coming to Disney Plus. Stay subscribed.
You already sold you for 3 years.
Yeah, but many people are doing the monthly thing right now, so
I got it for free.
There you go.
Wait, you don't have it for free? You don't have Verizon?
He's not
Verizon.
Verizon
wireless.
All right.
Maybe become Verizon. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, change our phone plan just like that.
Just for Verizon. Okay, so I don't know if you guys were fans of G4 back in the day. I was huge G4 fan.
Dude, I was a tech TV fan.
Yes, I was a tech TV fan as well, but they died. They died so that G4 could live. And they had a bunch of oddball shows. Of course, the anchors were not only X-Play, which with Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb, a brilliant video game show that I feel like more launched that network than anything else.
I was more of a fan of that, actually, than
I was for a long time. Yeah. And then, of course, Attack of the Show came along, which was, it went through a couple incarnations of till it got to Attack of the Show, but they gave us Kevin Pereira and Olivia Munn. Olivia Munn is now a fairly well-known movie star.
I think so.
Dude, yeah, very much so.
I find her entertaining.
Award-winning.
Did she win awards for?
She's
I feel
awards?
Like she has.
You just threw that in there. Sure. We don't even have any.
But no, I mean, she's gotten a lot more clout as a dramatic actress now. Like
like
she ever did before. Yeah,
I genuinely like her.
It took me some time.
Doesn't suck.
I wasn't a big fan of her initially, but
on Attack of the Show or as an actress.
On Attack of the Show,
because her and Kevin, I thought that were fucking magic. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
Fuck. I mean, they had some really funny ones. Vagina Punch. There's a lot of little dumb shit that they did, but every day they had a brand new episode. Like, they didn't have reruns. I thought that was always fucking amazing in the day and age that it was coming out, that they recorded a new show, Monday through Friday. A lot of people attribute Attack of the Show to a lot of the YouTube community that we have right now for such, things that like the feed and their interviews and, all their skits and stuff. It was amazing. I loved it. Sad that, it fizzled and died. But apparently there's a huge story behind G4 and Attack of the Show and how it was canceled. And Chris Gore, I think by the time you listen to this, probably the Kickstarter is over, but I think they met their goal already, is doing a documentary on it. It's called Attack of Attack of the Doc. I'm sorry. Attack of the Block.
Doc. Documentary. Yes. Doc.
Thank you. I have a cold. My brain's not functioning at 100%. It's Attack of the Doc. I don't know. If you guys had heard any of the rumors, like people were fired. At one point when Tech TV became G4, apparently they fired anyone under 30. Like, that was a thing.
They
really?
Fired anyone under 30?
I'm sorry, over 30.
That makes more sense.
Apologies. There was a bunch of little
That's
scandals
good,
going on there. People got pushed out. People got put higher. There's story there, I guess.
A lot of drama there, yeah.
Yeah, and there's so many of the personalities I think everyone liked.
Yeah.
If you were a fan. Zach Salwin, Chris Gore, Hardwick was on there.
Yeah.
Pereira, Munn, Blair Herter, Morgan Webb.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all there.
Well, I mean, I guess personally, you know, like I said, I'm more of a fan of what Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb were doing, and especially of Tech TV, which Morgan Webb had come over from. So I hope this documentary kind of explores a lot of those early roots, you know, because especially if there was a lot of drama there about Tech TV, getting kind of canned and then formed into G4. So, yeah, I'd like to see a lot of that, because there's a lot of that history I'm still sort of scratching my head over, like, what happened there, so.
Yeah, there's never been a real definitive, in-depth look at it. I mean, there's always been, like, someone's been like, yeah, it sucked, and this, you know, maybe a reason, one reason, but.
Sure. Well, yeah. I know that obviously by the name and by the popularity of Attack the Show, it'll probably be a little bit more focused on that particular show. But yeah, I'd like to see, I was a big fan of, like, the Screensavers. Yeah, that's yeah. Like
that's, some that's how they ended Attack of the Show. I don't know if you know that.
The Screensavers?
Yeah.
They put on
like carried that over from like
so the last episode was like they cut to the Screensaver guys.
Yeah.
And the one of them was like daydreaming, was like, "Hey, wake up, we got to get to work." It's like, "Okay," so they strap on jetpacks and they're in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they do the Screensaver music.
Really? Yeah. I had no idea. That's awesome. So, like, it's all just one big loop.
It's like Attack of the Show was like a fake, like a thing he was just daydreaming about, and they were still doing a, you know, Screensaver.
I had no idea. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Look it up. It's funny. So, yeah, Chris Gore is doing Attack of the Doc.
Doc.
I think by now it's probably been funded, but if not, check it out. Enrique, go ahead and take us to the next thing.
Well, the next thing, remember that one trailer of the Sonic game that everyone
flipped out over?
Movie. Yes, yeah. Yes. That basically killed Sonic at the end of there, and everyone went, Sonic went McLucklin, but then somehow he came.
McClunky?
McClunky.
McClunklin.
Yeah.
Well, I think there was, for the most part, I think the outrage was just over
his design.
Yeah. It was just bizarre. He had these.
Yeah.
Well, I think they tried to make it
real,
more real,
yeah.
Like more lifelike. Like if he were to actually be in our world,
right?
But they changed him.
Yeah,
I think a little too much.
They changed it, and you think too much, or the new one?
No, we're talking about the original. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and they throw out the new trailer, and everyone is going for it.
This is what they wanted.
Yeah.
Exactly,
he looks
what they wanted.
So much better.
Mm-hmm. He looks better. Like Sonic. Yes, it's exactly that.
He looks like Sonic. Sonic. Yeah.
Here's my big problem with this is that it doesn't fit. They realized that when they made it, tried it originally.
Oh.
He looks like a fucking cartoon character in this world. He doesn't fit. I think that's why.
I mean,
I think that's why they tried it and went with the more realistic, and I put that in quotes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Design,
but it still didn't fit.
No,
but at the same time,
and I'm saying this as a fan of the new trailer because it's pretty good.
Yeah,
but he looks weird.
Yeah.
Interacting with regular characters.
I guess so, but that previous one still did too. Like, I understand that they wanted to go under some sort of happy medium, but it's not like he looked like a real life hedgehog. He was still a blue
hedgehog
dude with red sneakers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're gonna go with that, then you might as well. Like, it's sort of like I mean, not that, you know, the live action Garfield was any sort of success, but that's sort of like another example of like, well, that's why you still had to, like, it was a little weird that he's walking and talking around with live action people, but. He has to still look like the character.
Yeah.
And I think people are responding so much more to this trailer just because
he looks like the Sonic that
he grew up with. Whereas the previous one,
real.
He was a blue dude with spikes and red sneakers. Yeah.
This is a good trailer.
He's an alien. I like it.
I dig this trailer.
I chuckled a bunch of times, especially that scene where he's coming back with the rubber balls and going like,
Never mind. It was okay.
I will say that because I'm a fan of DuckTales, I recognize the voice as Louie.
Very
quickly.
Yeah, it's John Raffio. Ben Schwartz is his name.
I don't think anybody said that he did a bad job in the first one. It just the body, the thing was not correct. But like, he does great at Sonic.
It's not. Yeah. It's I forget the actor's name. He was on
Ben
SNL.
Schwartz.
No, it's not Ben Schwartz. He's portly.
It's not him. It's Ben Schwartz.
Makes sense.
I'm pretty sure that's Louie. Oh, maybe it was Huey.
It's Ben Schwartz. I follow him on Instagram. It's him.
Okay.
Oh my God, I don't follow the other guy. He's like, hey, my movie's coming out. Go see it. I'm not the guy you're thinking of, Chris, and I can't remember his name because I like him too. He's got like a little mousy face.
I think they were very smart with the edit on this trailer too, because a lot of I know there was a lot of contention over the use of Gangsta's Paradise in the first trailer as well. It just felt a little strange. I think they were just going for that 90s nostalgia, but at the same time in an entirely different area than video games. So it just felt a little strange. Whereas in this one, there's very clear callbacks to the original Sonic music.
Yeah,
that
there's a lot of callbacks in general.
Yeah, I think they knew for this trailer, not only had to make him look like Sonic, but really push those nostalgia buttons the right way, because that's what people want to see in a Sonic movie. You know?
Yeah, I mean, even like his little bandana that he had when he did that kung fu move.
Yeah,
was even the original Sonic logo on it. If you look at it.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
I didn't
right there.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's the original Sonic logo. So it's like, oh, okay. They did a lot of little callbacks in here.
Yeah.
The sign that's on his ping pong table that says Hilltop Road. I was an actual Sonic
that's
level.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I think they knew that. To get Sonic fans, it needs to look like a Sonic movie, and this looks like a Sonic movie.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you get a little bit more in this trailer of Jim Carrey sinking his teeth into the Robotnik role, and I think it looks great.
The teeth are gone.
I think it looks, I don't know. It looks weird still. Like, it definitely changes the whole dynamic of the movie to, I mean, I guess it was a kids movie before, but this
it
feels like 1,000% like.
More of a kids movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
That's who they're targeting, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. With this look, I think it's still targeting us.
They're targeting us with kids.
Yes, but I mean, but the same way, a lot of this kind of nostalgia-driven kind of stuff, like it's still a family film that's that they want to appeal to. They want people to bring their kids to it.
That's
probably what happened.
Yeah, and I'll argue like Sonic is still around now, so they're still trying to appeal to the kids.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, I wouldn't say that they're not for the children. It is for the children.
It's still a major video game franchise, you know?
Yeah.
If not as huge as it once was, like it's still got that appeal. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's little kids watching this who never played a Sonic game going, ooh, that looks funny. I want to see that.
My kid barely knows Sonic. I mean, she knows Sonic because he's a video game character.
Sure.
But I think that's really it.
That's about my depth of Sonic.
It was what? You don't?
As he's a video game
character.
Oh,
that's right. You didn't play the Genesis.
Nope, I didn't have him.
Right.
No. I'm still wondering, is Tails in this?
No, it's
clear that they only stay in Mobius like just for like probably the first 10 minutes of the film.
Okay,
and then he instantly leaves.
Hmm,
that's okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. What was the other trailer that?
Well, another trailer that has dropped is the new Scoob, not Scooby Doo or Scooby. It's just Scoob.
Just Scoob! Exclamation point.
Like Zoinks, yeah. Man.
Zoinks, man.
Yeah, man.
And it looks really good. Like I think I'm definitely gonna watch this one.
It looks sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I like it.
It's the first time we're seeing them.
It's
all done
fully
CG, right?
Yeah,
well,
it's
of
all full
the group
CG.
As children.
It's another origin story. Yeah, I mean there have been multiples.
There have been origins, but they never showed them first meeting. So I get why they say that this is the first time they've done an origin story for them. It's the first time they ever met together. But they've done it where they have them as children before.
Yeah, I mean, there was
a whole show on that.
When I was young, there was a show called A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, which was, I think, done in the style of the 50s, because I think Scooby-Doo was the 70s when it came out, so they kept along with that.
I mean,
and
they
then,
had, like, those girls singing in the background, doo-bee-doo-bee-doo.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah, that's right. I forget about that. Yeah. And Fred had a flat top. I feel like they've done the origin-ish a couple times, and I think they even did it in the movie, if I'm not mistaken.
I feel like they did.
Or at least
how Scooby and Shaggy got together.
I thought this was adorable, though.
It looks really
Scooby
cute.
Gets his name, gives him a collar.
And which I find it funny that, the Scooby snack came first, not the Scooby.
In this universe, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes more sense, unless, they are.
I just assumed
no
whatever
detectives.
His treats were, he just called them Scooby snacks.
That's
just
what I, yeah.
The dog's name Scooby, here's your snack.
Yeah, that's what I assume is the original idea behind it. It's like, it's his dog treat.
Yeah, I mean, by redoing the origin.
Shaggy just happens to like it also.
Yeah, I mean, they're redoing the origin. There's going to be some retconning, obviously.
That's fine.
But,
this is
a fine retcon.
Yeah.
It's a fine retcon.
I mean, and it feels like a classic Scooby-Doo kind of a story. So,
Well, indeed, we were texting about this.
The moment I found out, I had to tell somebody.
It was the, what was his fucking name? Thank you.
No, not Captain. I'm sorry. Blue Falcon.
I want to keep calling him Dr. Falcon, but it's not Dr. Falcon.
No, it's Blue Falcon.
Blue Falcon. And I forget his what was his
Dynamite.
Dynamite. Fuck.
He's
in the movie, and I think in some manner.
There's a lot of hints in here in the just the trailer alone, but when we did dig deeper, we did see that there's confirmation of that. But there's a lot of hints of other Hanna-Barbera characters in this. One was Blue Falcon because he's literally inside Blue Falcon's fortress.
Yeah.
Another hint was the mustache that Velma picked up.
Yeah.
Said it smelled like oil and scotch. No, it's oily and scotch, right, or something like that.
Yeah.
Mustard.
Stephanie's like, that's my father.
Oh, yeah.
Ew, it's my father. It's Dirk Dastardly or.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Dirk Dastardly. Yeah. Dirk Dastardly? Yeah, something like that. It's actually probably most likely his mustache.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I was like, I think I remember talking about this, like Captain. Captain Caveman might have been.
Yes, he's confirmed in there. Captain Caveman. Yeah. His Tracy Morgan too, by the way.
I could see that. So a couple of the Hanna-Barbera characters are confirmed for the Scooby-Doo movie in one capacity or another, which awesome.
That's kind of cool. I mean, I'm not as well versed in the Hanna-Barbera verse, but at the same time, by this being like a reboot of sorts, I would have half expected them to just. Repurpose a lot of it. Yeah. But clearly, there's a lot of people who care about the classic characters.
Well, there was
this,
There was a cartoon in the late 70s, early 80s, where it was like Hanna-Barbera Wacky Races, which was very popular before my time. But it was basically the Hanna-Barbera characters doing like a race. And, Scooby and the gang interacted with the rest of them. Not the Pink Panthers. Pink Panther's not a Hanna-Barbera. Huckleberry Hound or... Fuck, there is a Pink Panther, but his name is Pink Panther.
Snaggletooth.
Thank you. Anyway, I don't know. It's not like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the Hanna-Barbera Cinematic Universe is still kind of fun.
Yeah, no, that was what I was going to say. It's like, didn't we talk about this a while ago?
It was a while ago.
Something was going to come up of a Hanna-Barbera Cinematic Universe, but it was a different movie we said that was going to kick it off.
If we did, it was... Too long ago for my little memory.
I would say it was like a good month or two ago.
Really?
Yeah, I honestly want to say that's what we talked about it. There wasn't much to say about it back then.
I don't remember.
I could be. I'm probably.
But I mean, a lot of those plans may have changed too. But at the same time, it sounds like.
Well, I know the casting has been around for a cool minute because we're like, wow, blankety blank is being blank blank.
Mm-hmm. Regardless, it seems like they're sowing the seeds for that possibility for
good
future stuff within that universe.
Hopefully it hits and we get more of these movies.
Yeah.
All right, we got to move on. Lisa.
All right. So there seems to be plans that the Predator films are going to be rebooted into another franchise. So
cool.
Yay. I guess. I don't know.
I think so.
They're fine.
I think the first two Predator movies were pretty good movies. That was kind of where they
I feel like we should throw in the caveat that these are just rumors.
Yes.
For one thing, the only source of this is we got this covered, which is notorious for being terrible about rumors. But, it's something.
Yeah.
it seems a little strange given that it's a Fox property under Disney, and we were just talking about how they're shelving Alien for just the same reasons of, like, they don't know what to do with this violent R-rated kind of franchise. Predator is in that same wheelhouse.
I really don't think R-rated is going to be a difficult thing. Disney is pretty smart. They've obviously bought properties that they know are going to make money. They're pretty successful. I know at some point they're like, we're going to have to put R-rated movies out if we, the biggest movie company in the fucking world, want to keep going.
Sure.
If we want to make more money. I'm sure that they have a plan to make R-rated movies. This isn't like...
Right.
Disney's going to make an R-rated movie?
They're going to make a PG-13. It'll be fine.
And they have other...
It'll be R-rated. I'm telling you right now. Don't worry, folks, about Marvel. I mean, Disney not having R-rated movies. It's going to happen. It's going to be under probably a different name, maybe. But it'll still be R-rated.
I mean, before they had it under Buena Vista whenever they had an R-rated movie, right?
That's correct. They had Jesus, I'm so sick. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I think it was Buena Vista. There was another company that they released in the 80s that they were like, if they couldn't release it under the Disney moniker, they'd release it through their little production thing. And I think that's just what will happen again. This isn't something.
Possibly.
What? You okay?
You okay?
Yeah. It's just a. I'm trying to knock over the
doing?
Pain.
I don't know what you're doing.
I'm just trying to knock over the pain. I don't think it's going to be a problem. Deadpool has already been...
cut my audio.
Sorry. Deadpool has been already been said it's going to be R, so I don't think we have to worry about this. Don't worry about Predator not being R.
Sure, but it's just like we were just talking about that story about how they're shelving aliens and a lot of that talk is like maybe because they're too afraid to do something, you know.
Well,
aliens technically had one more movie than them, so maybe they're just, maybe, okay, do one more movie. If it fails, then we just shelve it.
They're also, also because Covenant was such a recent... kind of well, I don't. Yeah, yeah, something.
They're
I guess
also the rumor that they're
going
to bring it to
on.
Hulu, a Hulu series. So I don't sure put much. Like I really don't think. No, I don't know.
It just seems strange that this rumor is that they're moving forward on something with Predator, whereas we just heard that they're shelving everything with Aliens. So it's like why one and not the other?
Well, they feel one's more viable than the other.
They're not shelving Aliens. Just to clarify, folks, they're putting the movies into the vault, probably. That doesn't mean that Aliens is dead as a franchise.
Yeah, at least in terms of future projects.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just think that it's going to be the past Alien movies are going to be scarcer to come by in their, you know, whatever the format you can get them right now, like the director's cut and the director's commentary, stuff like that. I think that's going to be the scarcer or whatever. But I think that the projects in general aren't dead. And if Disney's any kind of smart, they're probably going to give Blumkin an Alien movie. Blumkin. If he's still Lincoln. Did I say it wrong again? Blumkin.
Yes. Blumkin.
Oh, fuck.
Blumkin is a very different
I know.
And you just love to use that for him.
I love, and I like that guy's stuff. You know what I mean? Like, he has a vision. Like, I'll say this about his movies. He's got a definite vision for his movies or a style.
Sure. Still the director of District 9.
Yeah. And what was the one about with Matt Damon?
Didn't he do Elysium.
Elysium.
I like that one. I thought that was interesting.
I know a lot of people shat on Chappie. I never saw it, but
Chappie was fine.
Yeah. I like Chappie. I don't know. Yeah, but
it wasn't bad.
It gets weird at the end, but it's fine.
It wasn't bad. You can see it. Sean Redette.
Disney Plus.
No.
Hulu Plus.
No.
ESPN.
Netflix.
And even if you do think it's terrible, he's still the guy behind District 9, which I think is a masterpiece. So, you know.
And he had a great idea for an Alien movie.
Yes. Oh my
that
god.
That one time. So years ago.
Let him do like
no.
Alien.
Let him do
that
it.
That makes too much sense. Stop.
I mean, if they're going to let fucking...
I mean, Fox wasn't letting him, but Disney might.
I
don't know. I'm not particularly a big Predator fan, to be honest, so that's why I'm a little...
Well, the first two movies,
rumor,
I think, are pretty great.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Sure. You know, what was the one with the... What's the guy with the big nose? He's
Adrian Brody?
Thank you. Yeah. That one was okay. Like, I like what they tried to do there, but it
predators.
Wasn't...
All of them, I'm like, they're fine.
But that was Rodriguez, right?
Yeah. Like, let's get all different kinds of killers. Like, that was cool. And the Topher Grace
conceptually,
was
I think it worked.
The serial killer. Yeah. Like, you didn't expect. I thought that was neat.
I didn't hate that movie. I think that's
I didn't. But it didn't set me on fire either.
No.
Or Danny Trejo. Anyway, and then the new one, which I'm like, I like parts of the Loonies. That was a really cool aspect of that movie. But they just didn't come together like you wanted it to.
Yeah.
And that sucks. So, I don't know. I think both are very viable franchises. They just got to figure out how to do it and have someone with a true vision, not offer someone money to, hey,
make a vision.
Maybe you want to do a Predator movie? Well, here's some money.
Right.
Yeah.
Which maybe on some level was how Rodriguez's one came to pass, I guess.
I'm sure he pitched it and was like, I got a great idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. You have to be I think you have to be a shepherd of something to do these franchise movies at this point. Like, you have to have a vision, not only for this one movie, but like how it could be a movie by itself with fits in with other movies. And I don't think that they're doing that. I think they're just doing Predator movies like, this is my story.
This is my Predator.
That's done. Yeah.
And especially between that and Alien, these are two major properties that unfortunately have kind of, you know, the franchises haven't gotten the greatest respect in their recent most entries.
No.
But at the same time, under Disney's wheelhouse, like with the right, you know,
Predator's
kind of management.
Predator's tough because it's always going to almost always take place on Earth because the Predators, the crux of them is like they're hunting humans. And that's fun to an extent. Aliens, you could put on fucking 500 years in the future fighting on a ice planet of Hoth, and you know,
and all of a sudden they're in Star Wars.
Sure,
whoa.
And it would work. It would work.
Yes, please.
So hopefully, Predator does not say McCluckley.
McClunkin.
Doesn't McClunk on out?
Doesn't
McClunkin?
All right, we got one last thing before we get out of here, Brian.
Yeah, so keeping it in the Disney wheelhouse because Disney owns everything, right?
Pretty much.
Well, we finally got our first official trailer for Soul, like, which I'm really happy that it finally got out there. We got quite a bit of a good look at it at D23, which obviously that footage never quite went out there, but I was happy to see, and I loved what they showed us there, much of which is here in this first trailer for Soul. So Soul is a Pixar's film about a character named Joe Gardner. He's voiced by Jamie Foxx. He's a middle school music teacher who just feels like he's in a rut, and he's long dreamed of being a jazz musician. And so he finally takes forward on his dream to become a jazz musician, and it's starting to finally happen for him, and he falls into a manhole. And so it goes right into very much that kind of metaphysical, you know, storytelling, I feel like, because it's his soul, you know, trying to like transcending his body and meeting all these other soul characters. As the other soul that he meets at the end of this trailer is a soul named 22, voiced by Tina Fey. I don't know. I think this looks great. I think I'm glad to see Pixar doing more kind of interesting kind of metaphysical storytelling, like a la Inside Out, and what did you guys think?
There's not much to it. At least the trailer is going by. It doesn't show us too much on it, so sure. It's hard to say anything good about
for it. Enrique said it very nicely. There's nothing for me to grab onto or care about at the start.
Which, I'm not in love with it, but I know it's Pixar, and it's, so I yeah, it'll probably it's going to be fine. It's going to be good.
It's going to be great, probably.
I said the same thing about, you know, Inside Out. I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, you see it, and you're like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it didn't grab me.
No.
Well, that way, but I've only seen this footage of it.
And there's a lot more
to
show.
This is a teaser, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nowhere near an actual film.
This can't be a full trailer.
Yeah, there's quite a lot more they did show us at D23, and that's a lot of the feelings that got brought back up by seeing this trailer. But but yeah, I mean, I certainly loved his cast for one thing. It's Jamie Foxx, Tina Fey, Questlove, Felicia Rashad, David Diggs. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm excited.
Mm. Yeah, it does look like there's definitely hope that this is going to end up being great. But yeah, we have to see more of it, obviously.
Sure, and it comes from the great Pete Docter. Director of Monsters, Inc., Up. Probably a few more. I can't remember.
I think saw Coco in there also.
Coco.
Oh, yeah. Well, they say that because in terms of Pixar, from the makers of and everything. But the director is Pete Docter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's it.
So when he fell in the manhole, did he go in the Coco?
He McClunked right there.
That was Geek Pop for this week. I'm Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
McClunky?
McClunky.
McClunky.
Your geek has just been McClunky.